I often come across you involved with the National Malaya Borneo Veterans Association. What's your involvement in that sphere?
I joined the association after I returned from East Timor and left the army because there's a lot of associations around for veterans, but a lot of the more recent campaigns are covered by battalion and regimental associations, and I didn't quite fit into any of those fields. So the Malaya Borneo Association has its origins in the campaigns in Malaya, Borneo, the Malay Peninsula post-World War II, through to the Malayan Emergency, the confrontation campaign. But they also cover some of the others, like the people that served up in Thailand and so on, and obviously the more recent campaigns in East Timor encompassing that geographical area. So that's part of the reason why I got involved. The other part is that as an Air Force Cadets Officer, 604 Squadron, where I started, has had a long association with the South Australian Northern Territory branch, and each year they would assist them by providing a catafalque party and an honour guard for Malaya Borneo Veterans Day in August. And in the last couple of years, we've also done a couple of extra activities for them, such as last year when they unveiled a memorial stone with a couple of plaques on it, specifically honouring Malayan emergency and confrontation campaigns. And 2016, when they did a pilgrimage to Kuching in Sarawak in Malaysia, and we sent a party of cadets over with them to provide the catafalque party over there.
And what was the purpose of that trip?
That was actually the 50th anniversary of the end of confrontation. So the branch had put together a plaque to honour the fallen from that campaign, and there's a heroes cemetery in Kuching with a memorial wall. And up until this time, only one plaque had been put in position there by the SAS, and the association was given permission to place its own plaque in commemoration of the 50th anniversary of the end of confrontation. So a small party of veterans made the pilgrimage. Cadet party went with them to provide the catafalque party and the honour guard. And there were lots of reunions, lots of friendships, re-establishing old friendships and making new ones. So it was a very successful trip.
I would imagine that would be quite an honour to be invited to put up their own plaque in that location.
Yes. Previously, the Special Air Service Regiment had been granted permission to place a plaque in honour of the SAS squadrons that had served. And so this was the second to be placed. And I believe now the New Zealand Malayan veterans have placed a plaque as well. So quite a distinguished gathering of commemorations in the one memorial precinct.
You've been doing a lot of research into our troops who served in that arena. What's your research about?
I've been helping the association because moving on from the 50th anniversary of the end of confrontation, this year is specifically the 70th anniversary of the beginning of the Malayan Emergency. And on the 16th of June is actually the day 70 years ago when Malayan communist terrorists executed some European plantation managers in Perak State. And basically 2 days later, a state of emergency was declared in Perak, and then emergency measures were enacted throughout the country. So this was a bit of a shock in a newly established nation. Various police agencies and military agencies had to work across widespread areas, large areas of jungle, and try to nip this threat in the bud. As it turned out, it lasted 12 years before it was effectively completely under control and the end of the emergency could be declared in 1960. But one of the things that strikes historians and collectors and so on is that these events sometimes have odd names. So one of the things that strikes you is that there is a campaign medal for this event, known as the campaign medal, or the Navy had their own version, the Naval General Service Medal, with a clasp on it, Malaya. And you question why a campaign medal with a bar rather than a war medal. So you start delving into the history of why was it an emergency, not a war. Then you start looking at what was the Australian involvement, the military involvement. Then you start looking at the casualties and you hear figures that 39 Australians died in those 12 years. But then you start digging a bit deeper and you find out that others died but aren't memorialised in the same way. And you start to see questions and you start to say, well, why did somebody who died in 1961 fall into a different category to somebody who died in 1955 if it's still in the same geographic locality. So one of the things I found is, yes, 39 Australians lost their lives during those 12 years, but in fact a further six died on active service after the official end of the emergency. And I guess from a commemorative point of view, a line has to be drawn. So the Australian War Memorial has basically drawn the line to say that as of the 31st of July 1960, which is the day the government of the Federation of Malaya declared the emergency to be over, that is the end date for the qualifying period for the Clasp Malaya to the Campaign Medal. Obviously, that also is the end of the qualifying period for casualties and fatalities to be recorded. So in that period, from the 16th of June 1948 to the official end of the qualifying period, 31 July 1960, 39 Australian servicemen lost their lives. 15 of them were as a result of operations, 27 were wounded, but Australians were still in Malaya. After that date, Australians were still in Malaya on the peninsula, and there were fatalities that followed. A further six died immediately after. Now, they're not listed as fatalities related to the Malayan emergency. They're actually listed under a different title of Southeast Asia, 1955 to 75. What you find is that they are listed separately at the War Memorial, but they may be listed on other memorials as deaths during the Malayan campaign, or they may be listed in a battalion honour roll as deaths in Southeast Asia. The other part of this that when you're doing your research is that you find people are listed differently. And sometimes that's the nature of their service. So, for example, in the 3rd Battalion, three members died, but there was also a member of the Royal Australian Electrical and Mechanical Engineers, the RAMEE team that was linked with the 3rd Battalion, who lost his life. So in some lists you'll see three members of 3RAR lost their lives. In other lists you'll see that four lost their lives, depending whether this RAMEE guy is included or not. It's a bit of a challenge to go back through these lists and actually verify exactly where people fit into the scheme of the period, and then to identify those other six in this case that lost their lives immediately following the end of the emergency. So sometimes families feel at a loss. They may not have a grave to visit here in Australia if the serviceman's been buried overseas. They may not have a memorial to go to if the name hasn't been listed, and yet they died on active service, maybe not within the particular qualifying period for the service medal, but certainly on active service in the geographical area relating to that campaign. The other aspect of it is that, like I said, firstly, the families need to grieve. So these are the stories that we hear from World War I and World War II quite regularly, simply because of the sheer volume of loss from those wars. We don't hear about it as much from these smaller conflicts because of the smaller scale, relatively, but the degree of loss and grief is still the same when you bring it down to the one individual. One of the important factors of an association like the Malaya Borneo Veterans Association, they remember people. They make the effort to find out whose name is not on the memorial. Have we forgotten someone? Let's get their name on there. Let's get the memorial corrected. It's never too late to get a memorial corrected and include a name that rightfully belongs there. We know of one Air Force officer who was serving with the RAAF during the Malayan emergency, but lost his life during operations while he was actually serving attached to an RAF squadron, and his aircraft was lost at sea over the South China Sea, and he has no known grave. His name is recorded on a memorial wall in the Terendak Military Cemetery in Malaysia. There's a Navy death during the emergency where he was accidentally killed at sea in Malayan waters in 1957, and he was buried at sea. Again, there's no grave, so to speak. The records are a little bit all over the place, and it takes a bit of effort to pull them together. Some researchers have done quite an effective job in the past at pulling these together. There's a couple of key people in particular that have put together small publications that have gathered together all of these deaths. The War Memorial has made a great effort to collate those and get them correct. But still, you know, some of the names of those people who died during the emergency, we only have their initials. We don't actually have their full names. So there's still more work to be done to really build up a fully detailed nominal roll of everyone that died in the emergency or on active service in the Malay Peninsula, Borneo areas immediately afterwards.
Paul, with the Air Force cadets from 604 Squadron involved with the National Malaya Borneo Veterans Association, providing catafalque parties, etc., has this caused a better understanding by them of veterans?
Yes, I believe so. We have been doing this for several years now. One of the things that came up last year was that one of the cadets just made an off-the-cuff comment that my grandfather served in Malaya. And so we said, well, that's interesting. Tell me more about him. Oh, I don't really know much about him. Huh. So while we were doing rehearsals and waiting to start the ceremony, he's on his phone texting his mother, who was in New Zealand at the time. She spoke to the family because they were from New Zealand, sent him back the details about his grandfather, sent back some photos of his headstone. I was able to read the details on the headstone and say, oh, well, this is who he served with. This is what they did a bit of research. So he now actually has a more in-depth knowledge of what his grandfather was doing than he did before. I was able to share that information with the Malaya Borneo Association, and it turns out that they knew him. He had actually been over here in Adelaide a few years before and had marched with the Malaya Borneo Veterans Association on Anzac Day, and they knew him quite well. It was really fortuitous that we were able to share that information, and they would then know that his grandson is now providing the catafalque party for our Malaya Borneo Veterans Day. That was a really good outcome. He now knows more about his grandfather, and he's got a closer association with the branch because of that.
Explain to listeners what a catafalque party is.
A catafalque party basically mounts guard on a cross of sacrifice or a memorial or a cenotaph to defend it and also to represent the paying of respects. So they're providing that reverence and respect during the ceremony, but still on guard to defend the cenotaph. When the appropriate parts of the ceremony come along, such as last post and so on, they provide the salute, and then at the end of the ceremony, they dismount and march off. And that has its origins in a military tradition of an advance party holding a piece of land or a beachhead and securing it until the main body can come through, usually at first light, and then secure it and move on with the operation.
Paul, just to wrap it up, a reminder of the significance of 16th of June.
On the 16th of June this year, the Malaya Borneo Veterans Association in Adelaide will be holding a memorial service at the West Torrens War Memorial Gardens in Hilton. And the significance of this is that on the 16th of June in 1948, that is the day that a bunch of Malayan communist terrorists attacked and executed some European plantation managers in Perak State on the Malay Peninsula. And that led to a series of events which led to a state of emergency being declared on the 18th of June. And then shortly after that, emergency measures throughout the country. That led on to actions throughout the next 12 years to deny these communist terrorists freedom of movement through the jungles and the pathways, lots of active patrolling by the security forces in the area to try and diminish their ability to terrorise the local villages. And that lasted for 12 years at the cost of 39 Australian lives and, of course, many others from the Commonwealth nations that were represented in the emergency. So this ceremony coming up on the 16th of June gives us the opportunity to honour the sacrifice of those 45 Australians that died during the emergency and immediately after. They were among 1,800 Malayan and Commonwealth troops who lost their lives in that 12 years. And it really also serves to reinforce that those losses were not in vain. Malaya, as a new country immediately following World War II, was defended and its sovereignty upheld. And it allowed Malaya to successfully achieve independence on the 31st of August 1957, and then eventually, on the 16th of September 1963, the creation of Malaysia as a nation. So those losses were not in vain, led to very positive outcomes in the region, and we should honour those who lost their lives. And the way the Malaya Borneo Veterans Association wants to do that is with a particular commemorative service this year for the 70th anniversary of the start of the emergency and by recalling the names of those 45 Australians who fell.
Is the general public welcome to come to the service?
Everyone's welcome. Family, friends, veterans, absolutely.
Paul Rosenzweig, thank you very much for today.
Thank you, Helen.